news is bad, and the court's gone mad. You don't know what to do. Well, don't think twice, pick up your device, and listen to Politics Cold Blue. Oh, well, the stakes are high, and the states are stoked. Good governance is on the run, and the MAGA bear's been poked.
Welcome to Politics Code Blue. I'm Juliana Forlano. This 2024 race for president, well, it's a bit of an understatement to say that it's not normal. The leader of one of the two major parties, the nominee, Donald Trump, is spewing dangerous, violent, authoritarian rhetoric almost every day. This is not normal, and it's not okay. He's saying he's going to subvert the Constitution as he runs for the office that is supposed to uphold the Constitution. That's not normal. Also not okay. He says shoplifters should be shot on sight. Again, although this may be normal in a third world authoritarian dictatorship, but as a candidate for the highest office in a constitutional democracy, this is not normal. And again, it's not okay. Here's a few other things quickly that he's done. Trump has used rhetoric from Adolf Hitler in describing immigrants as poisoning the blood of our country. He says news outlets like this one that disagree with him should be shut down. And he's promised that if elected, he will unleash the Department of Justice to get back at his political opponents. Do these sound normal to you? Do they sound okay? Because apparently they do to half the country. Well, maybe not half. But a good portion of this country thinks that a man who was credibly accused by more than 24 women of sexual misconduct would be a fine person to make decisions affecting every woman in this country. This is certainly not normal and not okay. Nevertheless, it's not clear at all that the press has an understanding of how to cover Trump for what he truly is, a major threat to American democracy. Somehow, this is a fact that either evades reporters, remains something they refuse to accept, perhaps remains something they give lip service to, but don't truly dive in and cover, or is perhaps outside the allowable discourse in a corporate media landscape. Remember that it wasn't until 3 years into Donald Trump's presidency that the mainstream press called his lies, well, lies. They used euphemisms to preserve a sense of normalcy. But this is not normal, and it should not be normalized by the press. By the time, in March 2019, MSNBC, the ostensibly liberal network, actually said, "The president is lying," President Trump had already told 10,000 lies. And that is not okay. And it's not normal. We cannot allow the media to legitimize an authoritarian kleptocrat and allow him to take the highest office in the most powerful country on earth again. We cannot wait for the corporate media to catch on and stop normalizing these events and not covering them in a way that is not just fear-mongering, but presents their actual urgency. This situation needs to be covered for what it is, an attempted coup already in progress. I'm Juliana Forlano. I'm a humorist, a journalist, and a professor. And we're going to cover this election and this moment in history the way it needs to be covered, because this is not normal. And I might add, it is not okay. We will cover it with integrity and even some humor, you know, to help the reality go down. Subscribe, bookmark, comment, send this to Nana, and enjoy the content as we face down the threat to democracy in America that is a right-wing fascist takeover spearheaded by Donald Trump. We cannot let this happen. We cannot let this become the new normal. Thanks for watching.
Jen here for Politics Code Blue. I've been working on a very special project for this podcast. It's one where we demand that those in politics, those who are elected, those who have put themselves forward in media and have very large platforms, confront some pivotal questions before the 2024 presidential election. And we've seen some very scary results already in these primaries. Time is running out. This is a must if we are to prevent a fascistic takeover of our country at the hands of Donald Trump and his MAGA sycophants and enablers. That is very close to happening. now have a Donald Trump who is outright saying that he will be a dictator. We now have the 2025 project by the Heritage Foundation that Trump and friends are readily embracing. I'm a journalist used to holding the powerful to account and presenting hard-hitting questions of those who really, really, really don't want me to. So I presented a list of questions. A list of questions which should be exceedingly easy to answer for any American, much less anyone purporting to represent constituents, or for any media figure purporting to know anything about politics. Questions that should cut to the heart of what any American stands for, no matter what side they're on, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. Questions like, Donald Trump says General Milley should be executed. Is this okay? Not okay, or disqualifying. Donald Trump says that shoplifters should be shot on sight. Donald Trump has used rhetoric from Adolf Hitler. Donald Trump says news outlets that disagree with him should be shut down. Donald Trump invited for lunch a known white supremacist Holocaust denier. Donald Trump has been charged in 4 indictments and 91 felony counts, including theft of nuclear secrets and violently trying to seize power from the winner of a free and fair election. Donald Trump has called for the termination of the Constitution. Donald Trump has been credibly accused by more than 24 women of sexual misconduct. He is on tape bragging about committing sexual assault. He was found liable in a case for sexual abuse. The judge in that case said Trump raped the woman. Donald Trump has promised, if elected, to unleash the Department of Justice to exact retribution on his political opponents. Donald Trump has admired Putin's ability to kill whomever he wanted. Donald Trump proudly posted an image on his Truth Social account with bolded words being revenge, power, dictatorship, and dictator, with no additional commentary. People who have worked with Donald Trump at all levels while he was president, from assistants to members of his cabinet, are disgusted and ashamed by what happened throughout his presidency and believe him to be a fascist. Should Donald Trump win the 2024 election, he reportedly plans to politicize the Department of Justice to order the prosecutions of former aides, staff, and officials who have come out against him, many of whom are Republicans. These and more. Is this okay, not okay, or disqualifying? And by the way, you can read all of these questions at politicscodeblue.com. We have sent these questions to some of the most prominent elected Republicans. We've also sent these questions to some of the most prominent Republican media figures out there. We will continue to send these questions to those who have not responded, and we will update our list continuously. At the time of this airing, there has not been a single response, not a single answer. The silence speaks volumes, and we will definitely update you when and if there are any responses. We definitely hope that there will be. Questions we at Politics Code Blue posed were direct and crucial. They referenced direct statements and actions by Donald J. Trump that just a few short years ago would have been unthinkable. For statements by Trump admiring and vowing to replicate murderous dictators like Putin and Kim Jong-un, advocating violence against dissent and vowing to throw out the core tenets of our democratic process. We asked if it was acceptable, disqualifying rather, for former president to admire an autocrat's power to execute at will. Trump has called for the execution of General Mark Milley, who protected our country from Trump after he lost the election and schemed to remain in office. That's just one example. We asked if it was okay to directly associate one's leadership style with dictatorship, revenge, and power. We questioned whether it's okay to weaponize the Insurrection Act and the Department of Justice against perceived political enemies. The silence in response to these questions and so many others is a signal that we are at a crossroads, a confirmation that the threat of authoritarianism is a looming, ever-growing presence. Unless we, you and me, everybody, everybody you know, everybody I know, unless we take action now. It's not just about Donald Trump, though he's the most visible danger. It's about democracy and the very foundations of this country. Democracy is resilient, but it is not invincible. We have to guard it strongly, and each of us must be vigilant and vocal. We may not have received answers to our questions here at Politics Code Blue, but the silence of those we asked has spoken for them. Now it is your turn to respond. It is my turn to respond. It is our turn to respond with our voices, actions, and votes. We'll keep holding those in power to account. We must vote for Democrats from the top of the ticket to the bottom. The other political party, the MAGA Republican Party, has rendered itself unfit by their overwhelming embrace of Donald Trump. We've seen that all throughout the primaries in really hideous and scary ways. They have abandoned our Constitution and our democracy. We must vote for those who wouldn't hesitate for a single second to look at this list of questions, which you can find in full on our website at politicscodeblue.com, and vote that they are very disqualifying. It should be so simple. You don't have this hesitation. You know that these questions are disqualifying. You know what democracy is. You know what is at stake for the people. So please make sure you register, volunteer, donate, and vote. We are our own superheroes. You are going to save you. You are going to save your neighbor. So let's save democracy. Let's do it.
One of the presidents of a big country stood up and said, "Well, sir, if we don't pay and we're attacked by Russia, will you protect us?" I said, "You didn't pay? You're delinquent?" He said, "Yes, let's say that happened. No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay." Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. If this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country. I actually say that the date, remember this, November 5th, I believe it's going to be the most important date in the history of our country.
In an era where the unimaginable has become reality, our Politics Code Blue podcast mini-documentary confronts the grave threat Donald J. Trump poses to American democracy. This is not normal, and it's certainly not okay. As we navigate a landscape where Trump's rhetoric and actions challenge the very core of democratic values, we hear voices across the political spectrum, from Liz Cheney to Barack Obama to Gen Z on TikTok, urging us to recognize and act against the normalization of authoritarianism. This film is an urgent call to acknowledge the abnormality of the Trump era and to respond with massive action. It's a reminder that democracy is at stake and complacency is not an option. We all have to mobilize, educate, volunteer, donate, and vote, or we will find ourselves in a fascist dictatorship. The future of our nation depends on our collective response. Let's reclaim our democracy. This is our moment.
He is trying to change us as a country.
In fact, he already has, in more ways than most people probably realize, because we're bombarded daily with actions and words from Donald Trump that are not at all okay, that are not at all normal.
You are promising America tonight. You would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Meaning?
I said I want to be a dictator for one day. I only want to be a dictator for one day.
Would you rather have 4 years of Donald Trump as a dictator or 4 years of Joe Biden as a president?
Trump.
As a dictator?
Maybe.
Sometimes in life, we all need a good paddling from the principle to set our life on the right track. And this country does need a little bit of that. We need a little paddling.
It's nice to have a strong man running your country.
Would you rather have 4 years of Donald Trump as a dictator or 4 years of Joe Biden as a president?
Donald Trump all the way.
Even as a dictator?
Yes, yes.
Trump as a dictator.
I think I'm choosing Donald Trump as a dictator.
Yeah, I'm going dictator Trump for sure.
I'd rather have Donald Trump as a dictator.
The other day, Donald Trump said on his first day, he's going to be a dictator for a day.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Would you rather have Donald Trump as a dictator for 4 years or reelect Joe Biden for 4 years?
I would rather have Donald Trump. This country needs a dictator. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
That Americans would gleefully smile, laugh, and cheer at the idea of having a dictator in office would have been unthinkable just several years ago. But we see it here, plain as day. Deluded MAGA Trump supporters who embrace leaving our democracy behind. It's terrifying and it's sad.
Supporters believe their leader's reality and not, say, the reality the rest of us see with our eyes.
I mean, the man has declared open season on democracy. So I do think it's really, really important for us to explain when things are not normal. And for example, to think of January 6th as to having two interpretations. No, there are not two interpretations. There's one interpretation, which is what happened. Donald Trump is not business as usual.
Trump is clearly not normal. The way his supporters react to him and his actions and rhetoric is clearly not normal. From Republican Liz Cheney to former President Barack Obama to everyone in between, like you and me, we all have to see it and do something about it. We all have to wake up and take action.
Certain norms, certain institutional values that are so extraordinarily important had been breached. It was important for me, as somebody who had served in that office, to simply let people know this is not normal. The power of that alternative worldview that's presented in the media that those voters consume, it carries a lot of weight. It's very hard for our democracy to function if we are operating on just completely different sets of facts.
It's important for us to remember this is not normal. There's never been anything like this before.
This kind of president.
We certainly have had presidents, for example, who didn't like the press. But we've never had one that steadily, out of his own mouth, waged such an unrelenting campaign against the press. But this is something brand new in American history. That's first of all, it's not normal. There is a campaign to convince people, and I think particularly young people, oh, well, this is just the way presidencies go. That is not true. That the, look, many things about the age of Trump will make the stomach sicker than bad oysters.
Right.
That everything from what he says to the way he says it, for example, trying to strike some equivalency between neo-Nazis, and other people who were trying to protest, what the signals he sent to outfits such as the Ku Klux Klan, another racist outfit. I mean, this is unprecedented in American history, and therefore, it's a dangerous time.
You want to believe Trump is just another president, more conservative than most, but one who will make rational decisions. You're under a grave delusion. You need to wake up. It can get a lot worse.
So, Liz, you say that we're sleepwalking into a dictatorship. What else do we have to do to convince these people who are still on his side and maybe on the fence how dangerous he is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think part of it is because what he's saying is so horrible. And in a way, we've become numb. And I also think that all of us as Americans, we've become accustomed to sort of being able to rely on our republic surviving. And I hear people on the right saying, oh, you're catastrophizing. You're exaggerating this threat. And I think that's, when I said, you know, sleepwalking into a dictatorship, it's not really understanding and recognizing how dangerous it would be, for example, to have a president who was unwilling to enforce the rulings of the courts. Who's just simply said, you know what, if I don't agree with the courts, I'm just going to ignore those rulings. That's the end of the constitutional republic.
Living in the Trump era has been overwhelming. At first, we were alarmed, but now we are bombarded by terrifying things daily. Trump shocks our system, and now things seem normalized. But we have to remain shocked. We all have to be shocked. And we have to be shocked enough to stop Donald Trump from getting into office again at all costs.
Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke?
I don't know anything about David Duke.
I mean, I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here. But
very fine people on both sides.
Proud boys,
stand back and stand by.
We will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country.
Don't believe the crap you see from these people, the fake news.
Oh, interesting. I watched these criminals back there, the press. Look at them. Look at how many of them. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Wow.
Today, Trump lawyer John Sauer told the court that as president, Trump could murder Americans and never be prosecuted for it after leaving office, driving new headlines that will shock anyone with a sense of shock left. This is the headline in America tonight. A former president would have immunity for the assassination of rivals. And that immunity covers having rivals assassinated in America, according to Trump's lawyer in court today. That is what he affirmed. This is not a drill.
I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution. Not going to let this happen.
Nobody has any idea where these people are coming from. And we know they come from prisons. We know they come from mental institutions, insane asylums. We know they're terrorists. Nobody has ever seen anything like we're witnessing right now. It is a very sad thing for our country. It's poisoning the blood of our country. It's so bad. And people are coming in with disease. People are coming in with every possible thing that you can have.
If I win, we will treat those people from January 6th fairly. We will treat them fairly. We will give them pardons because they are being treated so unfairly.
That he was essentially saying, listen, if you rise up in favor of me, I will protect you, not only now, but in the future. A lot of troubling stuff.
I'm not going to show the video in full because, frankly, it's terrifying and I feel it would be doing you a disservice. But on January 14th, 2024, Donald Trump posted a video to his Truth Social account, essentially putting himself forward as a being sent from God to save America. It is extremely alarming and feeds right into some of the conspiracy theories and delusions some MAGA Trump supporters have about him, in which some of them wholeheartedly believe he is sent from God or is the second coming.
And on June 14th, 1946, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God gave us Trump. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, fight the Marxists, eat supper. So God made Trump. So God gave us Trump. Call out the fake news for their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. So God made Trump. So God made Trump.
Here are some examples of MAGA Trump supporters believing in this.
This is honestly the most honest comment I've seen from a conservative Christian Trump supporter. By declaring a man who is so blatantly immoral as Donald Trump, as God's candidate, as the Christian choice, Christians, conservative evangelicals, and conservative Catholics have sold out their souls for power and privilege.
After Donald Trump was indicted, this MAGA pastor declared war on the Democrats and called himself a Trump worshiper.
Tell my people who my man is to stand behind it, to fight for him. This is war!
Call me a Trump worshiper all you want to, but I know what came from my Trump worship, the blessings of the Lord.
Y'all are in a cult. It's a cult.
The Biden-Harris campaign released a new ad all about Donald Trump's confusion.
There's been a lot of discussion about President Joe Biden's age and abilities, especially when he may stumble over a few words, and strangely little about Donald Trump's, even though they are of similar ages. And it's pretty clear that Trump has been having some pretty major issues. Here are some examples strategically compiled by the Biden campaign, but straight out of Donald Trump's mouth.
Donald Trump is truly confused.
Nikki Haley is in charge of security. We offered her 10,000 people. They don't want to talk about that.
He didn't just get me confused. He mentioned it over and over and over again. Yeah. He's not what he was in 2016. He has declined. That's a fact.
I mean, last time we won 50 states, right?
This is not Donald Trump of 2016, guys.
What? What is...
If he is off the teleprompter, he can barely keep a cogent thought. I mean, that's just fact.
We are an institute in a powerful death penalty. We will put this on.
I think he's declining.
I stumbled and mumbled purposely.
I do speak in long, complex sentences, and I have a lot of
material in each sentence.
You have voter ID to buy a loaf of bread. You have ID to buy a loaf of bread.
Have you noticed? He's a little confused these days.
A person close to Trump actually says that he's rattled by Biden's efforts to get under his skin.
Is there hope for MAGA individuals? I hope so. There are some cases. The fear for some families I've spoken to is that some people are too far gone. Others have seen the light. We can't give up hope.
Question that I get asked a lot on TikTok is, what was the final straw? What finally caused you to realize that you were in a cult and get out of that cult and to no longer support Trump? The simple answer is, I realized that I was suffering and supporting Trump was harming me, and I realized that his policies are harming other people, my fellow citizens.
Gen Z will save us all. Listen to them. Joe Biden doesn't have to be your favorite candidate. You can be really, really mad at Joe Biden. But the fact is that we are literally at the doors of the possibility of having someone as president, Donald J. Trump, who has openly declared he wants to be a fascist dictator. We cannot allow that to happen.
Before in 2024, we're talking about Joe Biden, the guy who just today invested $285 million for mental health counseling in school. Joe Biden, the guy who continues to sign executive orders to erase student debt. Joe Biden, the one who's passed almost $1 trillion for climate change, over $1 trillion for infrastructure. Or Donald Trump, the guy with 91 felonies for stealing classified documents and trying to overturn the election. Donald Trump, the one who's found liable for sexually abusing a woman. He still goes on Truth Social and calls her a dirty, ugly blank. Donald Trump, the one who gave you pretty much no economic policy, no policy at all, just embarrassed America for 4 years. Donald Trump, the one who's going around right now saying illegal immigrants are poisoning the blood of this country, you know, literal 1930s and 40s Germany rhetoric straight from Mein Kampf. Donald Trump, the one who said he's going to set up these mass deportation camps around the country and ship out illegal immigrants. Donald Trump, who has no plans for this future besides retribution in America. That's it. The choice here is pretty clear.
I am going to vote for Joe Biden. Why? Because it's a lot easier to fight for progress on even ground than when we were being dragged back into the 1950s by Republicans. If it wasn't for Donald Trump's Supreme Court in 2022, I would have been out working for progressive candidates. Like, when Republicans are in power, our efforts are exhausted just keeping our fundamental rights and protecting marginalized communities. We have to fight for abortion rights, LGBTQ rights, hell, in some cases, the right to vote itself. That means as progressives, we are on the defensive just trying to maintain what we have instead of fighting for actual progress. So while he's in office, I can keep pressing forward instead of being dragged back.
You still have to vote for Joe Biden. The direct general election contest between Joe Biden and presumably Donald Trump, you have to vote for Joe Biden. It's math. As someone who's a socialist, our primary objective is keeping fascists away from political power. Preventing fascists from gaining political power is the bare minimum necessary requirement for us being successful on literally any of the issues we care about. Because of the math behind the Electoral College system, because any vote that doesn't go to Joe Biden makes it easier for Trump to win, you have to vote for Joe Biden. All that to say, we use our vote to vote for harm reduction. Electoralism is simply one tool of attaining and wielding political power.
So lawmakers in Missouri are proposing a bill, Jesus Christ, that if a woman gets an abortion in Missouri, she can be charged with homicide. So if a woman gets raped in Missouri and gets pregnant and then gets an abortion, she will get more time in prison than her rapist. How the fuck do people still vote for Republicans?
Why do you support Joe Biden? I strongly support our president for re-election. As a 15-year-old kid, because the presidency determines my future and my generation's future. Even though I'm only 15 and I can't vote, this affects me. This affects my generation. That's why I'm proud to have Biden as my president. Investments in clean energy solutions. More than 100 executive actions to develop clean energy, lower costs, create jobs, and reduce pollution. He's tackling the ongoing climate crisis, which Republicans deny its existence. Protecting lands and waters in this country. More than any president since John F. Kennedy. There's more people with health insurance than ever before in our nation's history.
It just keeps going. This man is constantly delivering for his constituents and the people he's sworn in office under oath to represent. I'm not afraid to say that President Biden is the most underrated president we have ever had in American history, because he is. He doesn't get any credit for what he does. None. I'm damn proud to have President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris representing the United States as Vice President and President of the United States. Please, please do me, my generation, and future generations a favor, including your own generation, by voting for, not against, your very own best interest. Because President Biden is getting things done regardless of party, regardless of ideology, for everyone in America. That's a good president. That is a good person. That is a good man. People need to be aware of the facts and vote Biden 2024.
Beyond that, Donald Trump has 91 indictments. And what I know who I'm going to choose is going to be one of the most successful presidents in modern American history, that passed the Inflation Reduction Act, that got us the American Rescue Plan, that ensured that we could pass one of the largest federal investments in climate change in U.S. history.
During the broadcast of Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve for 2024, Green Day swapped out a line in their song American Idiot, and I think it's appropriate to close out with it. It should put a smile on your face. This election matters. Please go to politicscodeblue.com to learn how you can take action. It's time for all of us to help in swing states and, of course, to vote. You see the danger of what Trump will bring. We all have to band together. The polls are way too close. Time is running short. Donald Trump has to be defeated. Democrats have to win. Let's save democracy.
Next up on Politics Code Blue, contributor and host of the Jimmy Tingle Show joins us to talk about the interview he was able to do with David Corn, author of American Psychosis, a historical investigation of how the Republican Party went crazy. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining me on the program today.
It's great to see you again, Juliana. Thanks so much for having me.
These conversations you're able to have with these deeply intelligent folks, you know, David Corn's a best-selling author, and mm-hmm. he is an investigative reporter. People know who David Corn is. He's integral to proper coverage of what's happening in our world right now. What was it like to have a chat with him?
Oh, it was great. David and I go way back. He's just he's a great interviewer. And really smart, and really has his finger on the pulse of what's going on, and has had his finger on the pulse of especially progressive politics and the bigger picture, of course, as well. For the last 20 years or so, and he wrote this book. He said, you know, I wanted to see, has anybody done a book on the history of the Republican Party and conservative politics bordering on in the extreme version, not the middle of the road George Bush and Ronald Reagan, for that matter, but the Joe McCarthy's, the John Birch Society, and how that has evolved into where we find ourselves now with Donald Trump and the conspiracy theories. And David says in the book, they've always trafficked largely in conspiracy theories.
Yeah, and Donald Trump wasn't afraid to embrace, as we've seen, as we've lived out, these conspiracy theories. And now, I just love the title of the book, American Psychosis. Half of the country has gone crazy, but they've driven the rest of us also into psychosis because we're all terrified of what a country is going to look like if we have a second term of a Donald Trump.
What we have to do in 2024, people who want to reelect Joe Biden, is we have to organize, we have to vote, we have to make sure we're registered, we have to donate, and we have to show up at the polls and talk to our friends and neighbors. We don't have to win any arguments. We don't have to I don't have to get into arguments with people. I don't have to do all the crazy stuff. All I got to do is do my job as a citizen. And what is my job as a citizen? Make phone calls, knock on doors, talk to my neighbors, donate if we have the means to, and vote, and try to get other people to the polls.
And that's what we try to do here at Politics Code Blue. If we can see the importance of this upcoming election and make sure we do all we can to get ourselves to the polls, get our neighbors to the polls, mm-hmm. we will win. And we'll have another 4 years of a president who is doing things on guns, doing things on the environment, doing positive things in all of these different areas for women's rights. What I loved about Corn's book is that he really talks about how a party of Lincoln, the Republicans, forged mm-hmm. alliances with extremists, kooks, racists, conspiracy mongers, all these people who basically, what I like to call, they appeal to the lowest, basest part of our natures. Mm-hmm. And they have made it okay to bring those basest part of our natures out and make laws to the basest part of our natures. And I really think, as President Biden has said, this is a fight for the soul of our country. We need to appeal to people's higher natures and have a country that is about higher natures and allowing us to have the highest values we can possibly have. And it's just such an interesting conversation that you were able to have with David around that. Jimmy Tingle, thank you so much. I know the audience is going to love this interview you did with David Corn. Here it is coming up next. And thanks so much for chatting with me today, Jimmy.
Great to talk to you again. And it was great to talk to David. Enjoy the interview, folks.
Stay tuned. This is Politics Code Blue.
Hey, everybody, this is Jimmy. Welcome back to another episode of the Jimmy Tingle Show. Today, we have my friend David Corn on the show, folks, and his new book is a New York Times bestseller, American Psychosis, A Historical Investigation of How the Republican Party Went Crazy. That's right, folks. Get down to the bookstore or go to Amazon and get that book because it is an awesome book. And David Corn is a veteran Washington journalist and political commentator. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for Mother Jones Magazine and an analyst for MSNBC. Welcome to the show, Mr. David Corn.
Good to be with you, Mr. Jimmy Tingle.
It's great to see you again. And I say this all the time when I see David, but I'm so happy for you because I know how much work went into this book. So I was extremely grateful for you being here today, but I'm just really happy for you that the book took off and has been on the New York Times bestseller list. It's a great read, though. It's a great thing to put in perspective where we are politically in this country right now.
Trump has transformed the party in the sense that he is taking it to and this is, I guess, a pun intended, the logical extreme, which is kind of the point of my book, that for 70 years, the Republican Party has encouraged and exploited far-right extremism, bigotry, paranoia, conspiracy theory, often more on the side and not front and center. But you saw Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin, and others over the past few decades speaking to the paranoia on the right and accusing Democrats of being, you know, of plotting, scheming to destroy America. Glenn Beck had a show on Fox, all the Republican leadership went on, in which he said Obama had a secret plot to destroy America, mm-hmm. and he was going to set up concentration camps and ruin the economy so he could become emperor. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time,
yeah.
but it was more or less to the side. Trump came along and said, I can put this in the spotlight. Now, with conspiracy theories and claiming that the Democrats are in league with Antifa, black radicals, and communists, literally to annihilate the America you love and your suburbs, meaning your white suburbs, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have a Republican Party that has been fed so much red meat that it's about to have a heart attack.
David, to put theme of your book is that the party has a history, and it culminated with Trump and January 6th, but it's been going on for a long time. For those mm-hmm. of the listeners and viewers who are not familiar with your book, just give some examples out of the book of where they right. were doing things like, for example, the Bertha issue, the whole Bertha issue.
Let me yeah. start at the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
What I describe is that this relationship between the Republican Party, the GOP, and far-right extremists going back to really starting after World War II. And it begins with McCarthyism. Mm-hmm. And you had Joe McCarthy going out there and saying that the Democrats weren't wrong. They were evil. They were part of a communist plot. They wanted to literally take over America. And it was part of a plot that had infiltrated unions, corporations, PTA meetings, local theater groups, everything. The commies were out there. You know, it wasn't that the Russia was bad. It was this internal subversive threat that was the true enemy. And initially, Eisenhower and other Republicans went along with this, even though they knew it was nothing except bullshit. And eventually, McCarthy went too far that the Republicans were able to somewhat distance themselves from him in the mid-50s, late-50s. But then in 1964, when Barry Goldwater is running for president, he basically makes an alliance with the John Birch Society, which was McCarthyism on steroids. It was their, you know, the Birchers believed that not that the commies were a threat, but they were already, had already taken over the entire media, churches, every educational institution. It was not just putting fluoride in water. They were, you know, trying to impose a UN regime dictating America. I mean, it was, you know, they had weather machines. It was just, you know, controlling the weather, that is. It was just complete nutso stuff. But yet, Barry Goldwater would not distance or disavow the John Birchers. He recruited them and used them to win the Republican primary in 1964 against Nelson Rockefeller, a moderate establishment Republican. And these guys, I mean, they were basically the QAnoners of their day. Mm-hmm. And they tried to keep them a little bit to the side, but he used them for fundraising and foot soldiers and refused to denounce them. And so you had that alliance. You have Nixon a few years later making alliances with Southern racists, the most virulent bigots, to win primaries and then to win general elections. In the 70s, you had the New Right and Religious Right, which both sort of evolved together, saying that Democrats and liberals were God-hating atheists, gay rights activists, wanted to basically kill Christianity and wanted to kill Americans who weren't gay. You had members of the Mormon majority going out there and saying that it was okay to kill people who were homosexuals because the Bible said you could. And rather than be aghast at this, Ronald Reagan and the Republican Party totally embraced it. They embraced this extremism. So again and again and again, you see Republicans making common cause with the most extreme, bigoted, hatred-fueling, paranoid-pushing elements of the conservative movement. You know, they don't do it front and center, but they, you know, go speak to them, they embrace them. And this happened later, both George Bush's and Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson had the Christian Coalition, a group of evangelical Americans that he organized for political purposes. And Pat Robertson, who died recently, was a complete nutcase. He put out a book saying that the Rothschild family and Kissinger and the Queen of England and others were part of a global world conspiracy involving pedophiles and others, very much like the QAnon of today. And he claimed that even that George H.W. Bush was part of this conspiracy as an unwitting dupe. But what happens, George Bush, when he's running for president, goes to Pat Robertson, embraces him, speaks to the Christian Coalition because he wants the votes and the money. So again, it's authenticating and legitimizing the worst of the far-right extremism. Newt Gingrich did the same. Sarah Palin did the same. You mentioned birtherism. That's how Donald Trump came to be a conservative hero. He took on this crazy theory that had no merit, that Barack Obama was born in Kenya, and it was racist, and it was tied into the idea that he was a secret Muslim and a secret socialist, and he had secret plans for annihilating America. And Donald Trump kept claiming that he had proof, he had evidence. He had none of that, but it was what propelled him to become a conservative champion that led to his candidacy for president in 2016. And, you know, it ends up with Trump becoming a president, pushing a gazillion conspiracy theories, including the big one that the election was stolen from him, which leads to January 6th. And what is he doing these days? He's campaigning that the people who were insurrectionist rioters on January 6th should be pardoned. And then he says, we love these people. He's hailing them and praising them. So this is a full frontal embrace by the leading Republican of violence and treason. Mm-hmm.
Well, David, I imagine you get this question a lot going around to book readings and on the air or when you do radio, etc. Is there anything like that on the left?
People think it sounds unfair or hyper-partisan when I say there isn't. This is asymmetrical. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden is not out there encouraging Antifa and working with Antifa and praising Antifa or anarchists. He runs for president in 2020 saying, I want to be president for everybody. I want to bring this country together. You know, I think the Republicans are wrong in policy. I think Donald Trump has been, you know, reprehensible and irresponsible. But I would like to be the president of everybody. Donald Trump runs for president saying that the Democrats are evil. You can't find an equivalent to Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or Jim Jordan mm-hmm. on the left. Yeah, there are far left members of Congress, and there have been, but they're not out there pushing conspiracy theories on the other side. You don't have this long record of Democrats or Democratic presidential candidates who go on and say Alex Jones is right, who go on and say, you know, QAnon is right. It's something very particular to the Republican Party, and there is no equivalent on the other side. With Trump, you see again and again and again, he and his other and his acolytes keep appealing to the extremists of the far right. You have Tucker Carlson going on Twitter saying to Trump, well, you know, these people want to assassinate you. The left wants to kill you. Mm. All this is totally inflaming
right.
the passions and hatreds and paranoia of the right. And there's nobody who does that at that high level on the left. The problem is that tens of millions of Americans believe the swill that Donald Trump has been slinging, not just the big lie about the election, but everything else, conspiracy theories of disinformation about COVID. They believe that Trump is their guy. They don't believe that he is a criminal, or they don't care if he's a misogynist or racist. They are part of this Trump cult. And that is the majority of the Republican Party. Other Republicans know if they go against that, they will put their careers on the line and they're likely to lose. So it's just a total profile and cowardice that we see across the board, that whether it's Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, whoever you want to point to, that almost all the major Republicans, you know, they refuse to vote against Trump during impeachment, victim. And they, you know, even the ones who criticized him, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, for the January 6th riot, and blamed him, within weeks were back on his side and saying what a fine fellow he is and that they would support him if he ran for president. They're not so much afraid of him. They're afraid of these tens of millions of Americans. And that's why I call the book American Psychosis, who have been struck by this political irrationality. They believe things that are not real. They believe the election was stolen. Right. They believe Antifa and BLM are in league with Joe Biden and they're coming to destroy your town and village. You know, where the Republican Party has gone.
Okay.
And tens of millions of Americans are at that point. And so that's why the Republican Party itself can't move from this position without basically pulling itself apart.
All right, David, let's close it up with, I have one. I want you to make a prediction. Will Joe Biden be victorious in 2024? Will the Democrats, will the blue wave actually hit the shores of America this 2024 election season?
Anyone who makes a prediction about 2024 is not worth interviewing. Yeah, one thing to keep in mind is that Biden had 7 million more votes than Trump last time.
Right.
And to be quite brazen about it, Trump's voters are older and they live in less healthy areas of the country. So that means in the 4 years between the elections, a lot more Trump voters are dying than Biden voters are dying. And if you look at younger voters, they're breaking towards Democrats. So demographically, it should be good for the Democrats, but our system is crazy. You can become president and you can get 10 million votes less or more than the other guy and still become president because you do well in a few states in the electoral college.
Right.
So it's really hard to game this out. And with Trump's, you know, gazillion indictments, impossible to know what impact that's going to have even on the Republican primary race. So all I can say is hold on to your hats, buckle up, get a scotch ready, because it's just going to be a wild ride between now and then.
Well, David, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks again for doing it. The book is American Psychosis. What's your website, David?
They can get it on Amazon or any other book place. If they want to subscribe to my newsletter, which comes out one or two times a week.
Yep.
And has information about the book, but just other writings about what's happening, they can go to davidcorn.com.
davidcorn.com. The name of his newsletter is Our Land. It's really great. You got a lot of great articles on there, David. And of course, please support Mother Jones. David is the Washington Bureau Chief Editor. And thanks again for being on the show, David, and continued success and keep the faith, my friend. Get some rest.
Yes.
We got a long road, man, 2024. But I'm optimistic, and I'm just going to tell you why, okay? The issues that so many people care about, guns, climate, choice, and immigration reform, okay? Those four issues, I think, that's the Democrats' wheelhouse. And I think, and if Biden starts talking about recovery from alcoholism and drug addiction and starts using his son as an example of what millions of people are going through and gets behind that issue and just connects with the average voter like he has and continues on the wave of accomplishments that he's been racking up with infrastructure, everything else, the green economy, I'm optimistic. That's all I can say. I'm optimistic. And the president might be in the Fulton County Jail. That's the other thing.
Yes. Well, there's so much that we don't know. All I can say is in the next year, we're going to need lots of laughs. So keep them laughing.
All right. And here's one final thought for you. If the president and those 18 people that were checked into the Fulton County Jail and got the mugshots, if they end up as residents of the Fulton County Jail, I guarantee you, prison reform will be front and center on the Republican platform.
As well as the quality of food in prisons.
Right.
Okay.
Take care, David. Thank you so much.
You too, Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
Politics Code Blue is completely independent and viewer/reader supported. That means you. If you're able, please go to politicscodeblue.com to see how you can support it. That might mean sharing our content on social media. That might mean supporting us financially. We all must stand together as the situation in this country is dire. Go to politicscodeblue.com to see how you can help today. Let's stand together and stand strong against the threat that is Donald Trump and the complicit GOP. We will be consistently releasing new videos and articles and podcast episodes and wrapping up our efforts leading into the 2024 election, which is coming faster than you think. It will be here before you know it. There is a reason to be fearful, but there are many reasons to be hopeful. And Politics Code Blue will never give up, and neither should you. This has been the Politics Code Blue podcast with your hosts, Juliana Forlano and Jen Dyes, with an interview by Jimmy Tinkle. The Politics Code Blue theme song was written and performed by Bruce T. Carroll. Trump art by Megan Marcel.
Well, when the news is bad and the court's gone mad, you don't know what to do. Well, don't think twice, pick up your device. Listen to Politics Code Blue. Oh, well, the stakes are high and the states are stoked. Good governance is on the run and the MAGA bear's been poked. Well, what are we gonna do? Listen to Politics Code Blue. Well, you will laugh and you will cry. You just might learn a thing or two. We are the voice of reason. We are the voice of hope. We are Politics Code Blue. We'll take the dinner off the table. Send the kids back to bed. Don't let them hear what Fox News said. You might think this is 1932. Better have them listen to Politics Code Blue. There's a Bible in the lunchbox. They got a red hat on their head. These folks won't rest till the rest of us have fled. What are we gonna do? Listen to
politics code blue. We got the right to pray, you don't need the right to vote. Fascism is the hero, democracy's the goat. They wanna make things the way they were then. They wanna make Jim Crow legal again. They wanna bring back Barbie and Ken. They don't know from Jefferson, Thomas, or Franklin Ben. They don't know the difference between perspicacity and Ken. What are we gonna do? Let's ask politics.